Oh, you're a bad boy, man. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. The man himself, Pastor Greg Lewis of Souls to the Poles, and all the other things, is in the studio as we get closer and closer to what is a monumental election. And whichever way you go, whichever way this thing goes, we've got to get people to understand. And even though one in two Americans don't vote, it does say that there's a disconnect somewhere. And I understand why people get frustrated and say that it doesn't change my life. Pastor Lewis, what do you say to people who say it doesn't change my life?
Well, I just think they're not sophisticated to understand the process. That's not being insulting.
Yeah,
you know, this whole world.
And we're talking about Americans, not blacks.
We're talking about Americans,
right,
man. The world we live in, man. You have to understand that you always have to plan for a future. And somebody's planning right now. And you're not at the table, you know. And you know if you're not at the table, you know what they say. You're on the menu.
Yeah.
So we have to get to the table, man. And this is the way we do it, through our vote and putting people in place that can look out for our interests. Now, we always have to vote on who they give us. So our sophistication is way below where it needs to be, because we ought to have our own candidates. I'm talking about middle class folks.
Right.
I'm talking about poor folks, you know, working together. We ought to have our own candidate. We keep getting all these rich cats to run for office, and then they, you know, do what they do and blah, blah, blah. But nobody who has the heart of the people is taking care of our affairs, and we have not been sophisticated enough to develop that kind of candidate, and that needs to happen. You know, we need to build a block of voters that we can put so we can put folks in place that will look out for our interests.
So Pastor Lewis, let's talk about some things and do a little house cleaning.
Yes, sir.
You dates and times of events that you guys have scheduled in the coming weeks as we near, Election Day.
Yeah, you know, the most important date that people need to understand is November 8th. That's the date when voting ends. That's the date at 8 o'clock is over. But from the 25th to the 5th, is where you can go vote early, and that is important. And it's a lot easier to early vote. It's a whole lot easier to early vote. Now, there's another date that you need to understand is October 19th. That's the last day that you can go online and register to vote. But the thing about Wisconsin is this. You can go to early voting and register to vote, but you gotta have an ID and you gotta have proof of where you live. You can do that at early voting. And you can also drop off those absentee ballots at early voting sites. But the 19th is the last day that you can go on your computer, on your phone, and register to vote. And that's important. Now, here's some
things. Now, I heard you right. You said the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're talking about the state.
The 19th is the last day that you can register to vote in the state of Wisconsin. Yes. Now, we have some dates coming up. As a matter of fact, the 25th, man, we got a big day coming up, and we hope you'll be a part of it. Organization that we work very closely with, SEIU, is having a huge program about getting out to vote. And then they're going to join some students at MATC to walk to Pfizer Forum and vote. So that's going to be a big, big day for us. You know, not that, you know, the amount of people going to vote, but it's just the
symbolic.
Yes, the energy that you see with folks gathering together and doing it together to go vote. And then on the 28th, we're going to have a young people's gathering at Red Arrow Park, and it's going to start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we still haven't named it because, you know, me being 64 years old, so, I was talking about.
So I got the right guy for you. Hey, Connor, it's not hip-hop anymore. What is it? What is the verbiage?
For what exactly?
Well, we want young people 18 to 30 to come to a rally and to get out to vote.
And they were going to call it the hip-hop.
We were going to call it hip-hop the vote. We were going to call it hip-hop the vote.
And so somebody, he's laughing.
And they told me, man, that's old, man. Don't do that.
It's not old. It's just funny.
Yeah, it's
just
funny.
Well, okay, so what is it then? What's a term?
Don't even try. Just literally go and be like, just make it, can't come up with like a general name for it, you know? Like youth out to vote or something.
Because
when you try to pander, it just comes off like.
Youth out to vote.
Hey, don't pander, he's telling
you. Yeah, I know. Okay. I mean, they made me seem so old when I was like, hip hop to vote. I thought I was doing something.
Youth out to vote.
Youth out to vote.
Yeah, that's,
youth out to vote.
I told you he had to answer, man.
Let me get this together, man. So youth out to vote. Youth Out to Vote is going to be the 28th at Red Arrow Park, and we're going to meet there at 4 o'clock, and we're going to have some local entertainment and some speakers, and we're going to have a national entertainer who will be the anchor for our Youth Out to Vote.
Let me tell you something, man. My man, Connor, you need to find a spot for him. I'm telling you, he is the man. And to have him... Give him an opportunity to talk with other young people, man. He will blow their minds.
I wouldn't mind going there and meeting people.
Hey, man.
I'm telling you.
Right.
I would not mislead you.
Now, you know you got to register and, you know, go vote and everything.
Oh, no, I took care of that.
Okay, my man.
Yeah. I'm telling you, find a spot.
I met Mandela the other day.
Hey, man, he met Mandela the other day. All right.
Find a spot. I'm serious. And give him an opportunity to talk to young people you could never go.
We can make that happen, man. Yeah. We certainly can make that happen.
I
think you're going to be there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, man, we can make that happen.
So I'll bring him.
We're going to make it happen, Doc. Really.
Let me ask you, Pastor, when you some dates and times again, you want to finish those up?
And then the 30th is the big day. Because we're going to call it the Midtown Meetup. And it's the Souls to the Pole Sunday, October 30th. It's the last Sunday in the month, the Midtown Meetup. We used to have two or three Sundays that we could go vote, but they cut that down because people were going to vote too much on Sunday. So they cut that out. But now we're going to have the Midtown Meetup on October 30th. And we're going to have buses coming with congregations to go and cast their vote early on October 30th at the Midtown Meetup.
Are you going to have big screens? Because who are the Packers playing that day?
I don't know, man. But okay. It's just like everybody else. It'd probably be women who come to take care of business. But if you want more information, man, you can go to www.soulstothepoleswisconsin.org.
Well, you know, I'm going to definitely be there, and so you know, it is critically important. Now, I'm an old school guy, man, and I'm one of those people who just the day of elections, I'm just locked into going to the school up the street from me and voting. And I'm not an early vote guy, you know, but I'd never miss a vote. But for people who it's difficult for them to get around, you don't know, it could be inclement weather. There's so many different things around that time, November 8th, you know, in Milwaukee.
Right.
No telling what you can have. So we know that, you know, if you can get this done now, why not get it done now? And it does alleviate when I'm going to the polls, as I do on the last day, they're not jammed as much as they used to be because of the early voting.
Right. You know, and we're giving rides not only to early voting, which we're going to start giving those rides on the 30th, but not only to early voting, but the day of is where we really shine. That's where we really started to develop a relationship with community, is when we start giving people rides to the polls. And they can call and get a ride, set up a ride to the polls. Can I give the number?
Yeah,
I
want to
give the number.
Absolutely.
It's 414-742-1060. 414-742-1060.
I had Claiborne Benson in here on last Tuesday, all right? And he talked about when we were first allowed the right to vote.
Yes.
And he went over the history of voting in this country for people of color.
Yes, sir.
And all of the people and what... And the sacrifices that they made. I mean, it really was, you tie that in to what's happening now. And you just say, amazingly, what our forefathers went through to even get that right. What they had to deal with. And many who died, you hear people say, people die for the right to vote. True.
No, they face death, and that's just not something that people talk about. You know, hoses.
Right.
You know, you ever, you know, really know about the pressure of those hoses that come off those? Man, they can kill you.
You're right.
And dogs and billy clubs. They went through all of that so we could vote.
You know, listen, we got to go to a break. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Pastor Greg Lewis is in the studio of Souls to the Polls. We'll be right back.
Instead of doing so much, why don't you do just a little? Boy, what a cat. I guess we shouldn't treat him bad. In fact, it would be nice if we understood him right. A case of positioning the feet in the shoes. Sympathetic reason in the case of the blues. Lucian is blue, even though he's really brown. I had to make the sound, his life is too profound. On the up and up, he's something like a little pup. Young and naive, it's hard to believe. As long as you're strong, you can quest with the questers. Jolly like a jumping bean or a jester. Lucian, 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 you should know.
My concern, you wanna die, it's not my turn. To do something to me like jumping a Mercedes on the highway, doing over 80 without music, baby.
Ow! I'll go crazy.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. My guest is Pastor Greg Lewis of Souls to the Polls, of Power to the Polls, and of Pastors United. So let me ask you, Greg, man. So if people who right now know that they need... They know that there are things that are not right, and maybe they may think that, hey, I can't change anything. Me, just little old me, I can't change anything. What would you say to that person?
Well, you know, it's still a process, Brother Earl, and we still have work to do. So, you know, it's a step-by-step situation for us. You know, we have to, first of all, get in the habit of voting. I really believe that we have to get into the habit, and that takes patience. But, you know, look at, you were talking about the patience of those before us.
Right.
Man, if they hadn't took the time to make sure that we could vote, if they hadn't had the patience, if they would have been impatient, if they would have wanted instant gratification, we wouldn't be here right now. They took the time to make sure that things were right. So I would ask people to be patient and organize. That's what I would say. Be patient and organize. Because one thing we surely can do, we can influence our local politics with the numbers.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's what we could do immediately. And as that grows and we extend our tentacles, man, we could start really involving ourselves even more in state and national politics. And I'm going to tell you why that statement is so important, Brother Earl. It's 80% of the Wisconsin population is Caucasian, but they're split down the middle. And most of those people, they're split down the middle. Listen to this.
Democrat and Republicans.
But most of those people are Democrats. It's just Democrats aren't as aggressive as the Republican side. Most of those people, and then here you got the minorities. When they're split down the middle, guess who makes the decision?
I know. Who makes the decision?
That 20% of minorities. And people don't know it's 20% of minorities living in Wisconsin. I'm going to tell you something else they don't know. That the country is 39% minority. Almost 40% minority. We don't understand our power, man. I'm going to tell you this, and people need to understand this, that we're the only ones who don't understand our power because we've been bamboozled into thinking that we're less than. See, and that's the problem. That is the problem. And even when we think we are equal or we think we matter, people do things to help us understand that you're not.
So titles like minority are used to make you think less than.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, you know,
So when you say minority, you relate that to what? Poor?
Yes. You know, people.
Crime.
People of different colors. And so not equal to the majority.
And Earl, you know what? You grew up, you had a family.
Right.
They raised their children.
Right.
Mom, dad. You have a family, man.
Right.
And you know and understand in your community that people want the same things everybody else want. I mean, look what he's done. Your family has been a very, very blessed family.
No question.
And they have made a way for their young people, for their children. See, people in our community want the same things. And we get the idea because of news and other communication vehicles that there's a serious problem with, you know, minorities wanting to live in a system that, you know, is not how can I put this?
That doesn't
really cater to their needs.
Right.
Man, I want a white picket fence just like everybody else, man. Are you kidding me? Man, I want to live in polyester paradise too.
But you know what? Everybody should be given that same. This is
exactly
America, right?
Exactly.
So the premise of America is that everybody here is an American and gets the birthright. If you're born here, that's the premise of what America projects all over the world. Hey, where are you from? Oh, I'm from America. And you poke your chest out and dun, 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 I'm an American. Okay. So the rest of the world sees you and says, oh, you're an American. I want to be like you. Because we've been taught about America and what America stands for, right? That's what the rest of the world sees. And so they come here from all over the world. They try to get here because they've read and been told that this is the great bastion of equality.
Yes, sir.
Right?
I want to live in polyester paradise too, Earl. Man, give me the white picket fence. I want to, you know.
You know, but we do know that it's what it could be.
Exactly.
Right? It's the promise that they make that is not true, but we have to make it that, right? Those of us who challenge it to be what it says it is.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Be right back. I love your music. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Pastor Lewis is still my guest. You know, earlier this morning we did a segment where we just had nonstop calls for at least over an hour from all over the country. We got phone calls. And at the root of what the conversation was about was about the fact that it looks like Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is starting to lose a little bit in, you know, his campaign against Ron Johnson. But even though we got all of those calls in today's news across the nation, man, they're talking about the fact that it looks like Mandela Barnes is losing ground to Ron Johnson. And I saw it in national news this morning. Many of the national papers and it's talking about the Mandela Barnes Ron Johnson campaign. And they're saying Mandela is losing ground. But at the root of all of that is, it doesn't matter what they say, Greg, if you get the people out to vote.
Right.
I mean,
you know, they're talking about the only people they ask is people eligible.
Yeah, right.
Voters. You know, that's not who we're trying to.
And they don't say eligible voters. They say
likely
voters.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that seems to be. But see, when you run negative campaigns like Ron Johnson is running, you know, he's almost saying, hey, the Negroes are coming. The Negroes are coming. Man, he's like Paul Revere.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, man, y'all better get out there and vote.
Yeah, that's
because
that's what
they will
done.
Be at your door. And, you know, and that's unfortunate that he is really flaming the fans of racism and bigotry and hate. And he's letting people know that your power, your privilege is at stake. You better get out and vote. And that's really that right there can really pump it up, especially for people who consider themselves conservative. But you know what? I don't consider Republicans conservative anymore. They're radical. You know, they go on and on and on about, you know, how important it is for their candidate to be in office, but their candidate is not doing anything for most of them, you know, so they vote against their own self-interest. And it's a mean and nasty kind of politics that they're displaying now. And again, I call it scorched earth politics. It's mean, it's nasty, it's bigoted, it's racist, and it's right in your face now. And now, you know, it's starting to work for Ron Johnson because he's got, you know, he got our white brothers and sisters afraid to vote for Mandela because, like I said, Mandela represents the, you know, black folks being at your door. And you better watch out. You better come out and vote or else you'll be sorry.
And you know Mandela. If you call Mandela a radical, what do they call you and me?
Right.
You know, I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
Mandela is the least radical person you'd ever want to meet.
Well, I saw him the other day, and I said to him, you know, I'm going to write an op-ed about these ads that are going into making it really bad for you right now. Because they're not truthful, for one thing.
Right.
And the other thing is they're so bigoted and racist. I can't even. So people who want to put fear in people, I have to really question their character. I mean, what won't you do? I mean, and plus, you do it at the risk of making us look like, you know, we're doing something that people really shouldn't be wanting to happen. Let me just put it to you like that. Black folks, watch out. They're coming. Those are the ads.
Yeah. Well, you know, Pastor Lewis, at the root of all of this stuff is they want the vote. They want your vote.
That's it.
They want your commitment to them. And one of the other aspects of voting that sophisticated people understand is that I don't just vote. a follow-up to see what it is you've done so I know the next time.
Yeah, that's right. A degree of sophistication right. That most of us have not reached.
Yeah.
And I was
in your
interesting to hear that, you know, you had that list of things that Ron Johnson had done. You know, I've met with Ron Johnson about two or three times, and, you know, it was quite interesting. You know, he offered to, you know, give me a program to get black
people to become Republicans.
No, to get black people to go to Sheboygan for jobs.
Oh, yeah, the Joseph Project.
It wasn't the Joseph Project.
Okay, but
then
something like it.
He offered this to me. He said, hey, man, he said, Pastor Lewis, we can have them go and live with families, have these men. I said, I ain't going to be a part of that. I said, you want this? Yeah, man, something missing? Or I ain't going to even go into all the things I said, but I said, no, I don't think I want to be a part of that. So he had to change it so that they could bus there every day and then find a way back home. And that became the Joseph Project. And I told him, I wouldn't put a black man in a position to live.
So the Joseph Project that he got all this fanfare from, when I checked it out, right?
Yeah.
And he was getting all this fanfare from, he did his great thing with the Joseph Project.
Right.
And he was brokering this through a pastor who lives, whose church was
Pastor
on.
Pastor Smith, yeah.
Was on.
Yeah,
was
yeah,
on,
Pastor Smith died.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. A nice man.
Yeah, very.
And what street was that on? His church was on Lisbon or somewhere around there. But anyway, and so I went. You know me, I'm the kind of person. I showed up one day, and so they were giving rides to the people. And my argument had always been, why should people have to go to Sheboygan to get a job? Right?
Why
should they have to go here or go there?
Listen, you remember Scott Walker? He canceled plans for that train.
Right.
You know, that would have been jobs here and people could go to jobs. There's a reason why he didn't want that to happen.
They didn't want the people to wind up in the different towns and other places. I mean, I get all of those things, Pastor Lewis.
Yes,
but
sir.
I always try to get people to understand what it's like to be a black person. In America.
They won't understand.
And in the state. And so you look at the carnage in our communities. And at the root of all of that is the lack of opportunities, right?
Yeah, I mean, because all you got to do is get Dr. Levine's research from UWM.
Dr. Mark Levin, right.
Yeah, man, that, oh my God.
Well, but so it's, I always say to people, when people say crime is what, and Mayor Barrett used to say this all the time.
It was backwards.
Yeah, that crime is why we can't get businesses here. And I said, no. Those of us who were around at a time when there were opportunities, we had some of the lowest crime.
You know about
in
that.
Milwaukee,
yes,
yeah.
sir.
Barely didn't exist.
You go by A.O. Smith. All you saw was people at work. That
everywhere,
kind of stuff everywhere.
And back in those days, when Milwaukee was 11th in my lifetime, Milwaukee was the 11th largest city in the United States in the 70s, in the early 70s. We were the 11th largest city. Now we're somewhere around 28, 29.
And not only that, it was the most appropriate place for black folks to live.
We had the highest standard of living.
Yes.
For people of color anywhere else in the nation in my lifetime.
Yes.
And lower crime rates.
We 28th now?
Yeah, 28th or somewhere around there.
We kind of small town.
Well, we've lost the population.
Yeah.
People have, who used to be here, moved to suburbs and broadened suburbs, and many of them left the nation, the state, a city altogether because of the lack of opportunities,
yes.
And so people left.
See, and saying that, real, listen, a black man who has a master's degree would get the same amount of income as a white male who had a high school diploma.
Right. But it's true.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's true. It's been documented.
Yeah. But listen, man, you know, elections and, you know, people need to understand just how important this kind of election is. A United States senator gets 6 years. So if Ron Johnson wins this election,
6 years.
We got him for another 6 years, right? If Tim Michaels wins the governorship, we got him for 4 years. And if Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson both win, we got to leave the state of Wisconsin.
Hey, can you say yipes?
Hey, you and me might have to leave the state of Wisconsin. That's how critically important.
Yeah.
And that's why we've got to get people to understand, if you think it's bad now, let Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson both get elected. And you know, and to be honest with you, I thought Scott Walker was bad. But Tim Michaels?
Yeah, he's
I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a businessman, Tim Michaels.
Yeah, he's the one who said, everybody get your torches and pitchforks out. We're going to need them. I mean, and he's running for governor, man. Yeah. He said, everybody, get your torches and pitchforks out. Now, I'm from Louisiana, man. You know what that means to me?
War.
Yeah, that means that the Klan is coming.
Hey, man, so the other part, the other part of it is, he said,
that's Klan talk.
He said, look, basically he said this. If you're gay, I don't care about that. Just don't bring it outside of the house.
Keep it to yourself. Yeah.
I mean, how do you say that kind of talk, use that kind of talk, and you even in the race? You know what I mean?
Well, know what, man? Shakespeare used to talk about people who protest too much. I think he protests too much. Yeah. I'm going to just leave it right there.
No, man. So this election, and not just the election in 2024, these elections are going to shape the entire future.
And Wisconsin is pivotal. If you lose Wisconsin to the right, it could be a domino effect. And I'm sure it will be, because Wisconsin was always
still a purpose. It's still a purpose.
And it was very progressive at one time.
Right.
But, you know, I think as Wisconsin goes, the Midwest goes. And I believe that sincerely.
Well, so there's no question, excuse me, when and this, if people think that what we're saying is fabrication, man, you know how many hundreds of millions of dollars? Hundreds of millions. The gubernatorial race in the state of Wisconsin right now, the most money in the history.
Wow.
In the history of not the state of Wisconsin.
Isn't that something?
In the history of the United States, more money has been spent in the gubernatorial race than any other gubernatorial race in the history of this nation. Man, try to think for Tony Evers and Tim Michaels.
And if they were smart, they'd put some of that money in black communities so we can get this vote out.
Listen, man, I'm not trying to throw shade on anybody. But Tony Evers and Tim Michaels will go down in history as the two people that more money was spent in the history of this nation for the gubernatorial race. That's right now. That's money already spent, and we still got almost 30 days left. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. My guest is Pastor Lewis. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Pastor Greg Lewis. And you know, man, we have to, Greg, we got to start all over again. And, you know, as our parents and the elders in our community back in the day, you didn't get away without voting.
No.
Even the toughest
voter, get out my house.
Yeah, even the toughest brother.
Yeah.
You know, who didn't go to school.
Voter, get out my house.
Yeah, he had to go vote.
Yes.
And because our community, with Reverend Dr. King and all the rest of the folk who, and listen, let's just also say this, because it's not just the black community is not voting.
That's right, Earl. That is so important that people understand that.
So let's do this. Let's bring on Eric from Tulsa. Hey, Eric. Let me
Hello,
ask
Earl.
You.
Hello, Pastor Lewis.
Hello.
Yeah. I
have a quick question.
Go ahead.
I have a quick question for Pastor Lewis. First of all, I'd love if he would reiterate his phone number that he gave out before, the 324 number.
Yeah.
I went ahead and signed up on Power to the Polls. It seems like there's a transition from Souls to the Polls to Power to the Polls. But I signed up on Power to the Polls to be a driver. I'd love to drive. I've been trying to do it for years.
Thank you. But my number is
414. I've got the time and I got vehicles. I'd love to be a driver every day.
Amen. 414-324-1629.
1629. Thank you very much.
1629.
Hey, Eric, man.
And now I did have a question for the pastor
as
well.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'd like to ask, just as you guys were just bringing it up, is what do you feel is most important in this election season, specifically to, you know, being a guy in the suburbs? I live out in Tulsa, and I've been going down to like 145, Burline 40th, and stuff like that, because that's where I feel it's important to turn votes out. But is it most important because of that Senate race this year to get, you know, black folks to come out and vote, to motivate them to get to the polls and vote, and make sure, you know, what I found a lot in canvassing is that a lot of people's polling places are changing, and I've been helping people more with that than anything else, because they're pretty well set to vote and who they want to vote for, but they're being told this place, and I'm like, nope, it's this place now. But is it that, or is it really honestly convincing white Democratic voters to get comfortable voting for Lieutenant Governor Barnes? Which one do you feel is the most vital this election season?
That's
all I'm asking.
I think the latter, what you expressed about, you know, getting to our white brothers and sisters and making sure they involve themselves in the process. The other side is very aggressive. You know, our brothers and sisters who have left the process, we need to get them back. You're absolutely right on target. You really are.
Thank you. All right. I'll work for it. Thank you.
Hey, Eric, man. Thank you, man. Thank you. You know, Eric's a prime example of, you know, the fact that he sees things that aren't right, aren't just.
Yeah, he's telling himself the truth. I mean, see, but Brother Earl, that hate is a serious, it dissolves the truth like crazy. I mean, you know, that hate is powerful, man.
Well, you know,
it really is.
There are people,
and we're not really dealing with that.
There are people on that side who don't think that's hate.
Man, that's hate. Man, if it quack like a duck, it look like a duck, waddle like a duck, it's a duck. That's hate. And you know what, Earl? Here's the thing. And you can't call people racist, Earl, because you can't prove it. I mean, all they have to say is, I'm not a racist. But we know if you act like a racist, you certainly are to us.
Right.
You know, but you can't do that. So we can't really talk about that kind of, we can't have that kind of language going on within our conversations, because it gets to be so, you know, mixed up and, you know, putrefied that people, you know, they get more angry and you give the other side energy to fight back a little bit harder. But we know what we're dealing with.
So as a reverend, man, who a spiritual leader, as a spiritual leader.
Yes.
When you hear people who claim to support and follow Christ in his mission. What do you say? Christ, it was clear. If you want to be my disciple, pick up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
Follow my ways.
Correct.
Right? My ways are not your ways, but you should follow my ways.
Correct.
Right? That's a tenet of Christianity, right?
Yeah.
You can say I'm a Christian, but if you don't emulate Christ in his works and those kind of things, Greg,
Christ said,
are you clearly following the master?
He said, I know you not.
Yeah.
Get behind me, Satan. I know you not. You know, you can talk all you want, but the proof is in the pudding. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So, you know, when we get these bigoted situations and you know that it's not right, it's not even logical. And that's what I appreciate about you, Brother Earl. You get so logical with these folks that they can't hardly stand it. And that's what we have to do. You have to deal with the truth. The truth is the only thing working, Earl. The rest of the stuff is out the window. The truth is the only thing that really is working.
So my belief, Pastor, is that nobody stays here forever. Right? We all have an infinite time.
Like a whimper.
Yep. And none of us ever know when that time is going to be coming. So it's incumbent upon us to try to live every day righteously, right?
It's incumbent.
To the best of your ability.
It is.
And so especially those who call themselves Christian.
Exactly.
So when you see people who, as you talk about the hatred and those kind of things that we see every day.
Yes.
You know, you just have to shake your head because some folk think they're going to a place with pearly gates and streets paved with gold.
Well, they can always repent and ask for forgiveness and repent. Yes.
While you
got to work while it's day.
I know.
Because when it's night, it might be too late. Earl, you crazy.
All right, Pastor Lou. I really appreciate it, man. Until we meet again. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.